Well, good morning and welcome to church again. My name is the Reverend Trevor Young from St Andrew's Anglican Church, Abbotsford. Well, how are you going? I trust you're keeping yourself safe and staying at home. And whilst you're at home, you can listen in to church this morning. Thank you for tuning in. And I have you encouraging others to listen in too as well. We're very much mindful of you. Rosemary and I are doing the service this morning, but from a distance we've got David reading the Bible and also Karen reading the Bible to us too. Well, today I'm going to just take us for a bit of a walk through the Old Testament. I hope it's not a lecture for you, but just to get you familiar with the books in the Old Testament. So if you've not yet already got those handouts that have been emailed to you ready and a Bible nearby, do that now. Stop the recording and go and get a Bible. Go and get that handout. So it'll be really helpful in following along with me. Also, we're focusing in our mission focus for this month on the work of special religious education. Although at the moment we're not able to go into the schools, we can pray for those scripture teachers who are preparing for lessons and contacting kids from a distance, but also the principals and teachers and staff at that school. And we'll be thinking about Anglican school chaplaincy as well and the chaplains that are providing pastoral care to students and families and staff during these difficult and tricky times. So Rosemary's going to be leading us in a time of prayer this morning. So open up your order of service and let's begin. We start off by thinking about why we gather. Now, we gather together to give thanks to God and to praise Him and to worship Him. And when we do that, we're very mindful of the fact that we fail Him often. Though we come together from a distance to encourage one another, we need a time in our time of gathering to draw near to God and to know that He is wanting to forgive us and to draw us close to Him. And because He's saved us, but now He's making us more and more like Jesus and He's sanctifying us. And so let's come to God now at this time. Christ Himself bore our sins in His body on the cross so that we might die to sin and live for righteousness. So let us acknowledge our failure to serve Him as He deserves and return to the Lord with repentance and faith and say this prayer together. Heavenly Father, You have loved us with an everlasting love, but we have often gone our own way and rejected Your will for our lives. We are sorry for our sins and turn away from them. For the sake of Your Son who died for us, forgive us, cleanse us, and change us. By Your Holy Spirit, enable us to live for You and to please You in every way, for the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is God's love towards those who fear Him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has God removed our transgressions from us. Thanks be to God. God therefore forgives us in Jesus Christ, who shed His blood for us. Amen. Give praise to the Lord, call upon His name, make known among the nations what He has done. It's good to be able to talk to God and to know that He listens and answers our prayers in a way that's best for us and to the glory of His name. And so Rosemary's going to come now and read us in a time of prayer together. Welcome, Rosemary.
Thank you. Good morning, everybody. We're going to spend a little bit of time in prayer. So the Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are Yours, now and forever. Amen. Psalm 31, verse 19 says, "How great is Your goodness, which You have stored up for those who fear You, which you bestow in the sight of men on those who take refuge in you. Let us pray to be kept faithful in the service of God. Lord, be merciful to your people. Fill us with your gifts and make us always eager to serve you in faith, hope, and love. Grant this through our Lord Jesus Christ, your Son, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, for ever and ever. Amen.
Amen.
Our Heavenly Father, you are our portion and you hold all our days in your hand. We thank you for the good and pleasant things in our lives. Please help us by your Holy Spirit to look at life positively and see what we have to be thankful for. Forgive us when we look at what we don't have and become negative and complaining. In Jesus we have all that we need. We have all the riches which he freely gives to us. Lord, may we delight in you. May we enjoy your presence, your comfort and your love. And we ask this in Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Amen.
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you that all scripture is from you. We thank you for your word, the Bible, given to us in great love and concern that we might have direction to live by. Without this word, how could we ever find you? Your word tells us about yourself and how we can find you in Jesus. Your word tells us about the promises you have given us for the journey of life, which are ours to claim and live with. Your word tells us about heaven and the end of our earthly journey. Your word gives comfort, guidance, and above all, it points us to Jesus, who is the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, help us to love your word and read it with passion. Help us to go to it daily for our spiritual food, that we might be built up strong in our faith and live for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Sovereign Lord, you know all things, and through all circumstances of life you accompany your people. Prosper the work of those continuing to provide vaccinations over this world for the coronavirus. Protect and strengthen those who are treating the sick. And we bring those to you today who are in hospital and ICU with coronavirus. Comfort the sick, speed their recoveries, and we pray for those who mourn the loss of loved ones or are living in fear of this disease. Give to the governing authorities wisdom in their management of this crisis, and grant to your people patience, compliance, and peace, generous and wise hearts, and a renewed trust in your sovereign goodness and glory. Turn the hearts of many experiencing fear and anxiety to you, that they may find that peace which only you can give, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we continue to pray as a congregation that we will still care for one another and prioritise the need to encourage one another as we remain restricted in our ability to gather together physically. We pray today for those who are unwell, for Lynn Clark, Kay Woodcock, Max Schweizer, and we pray for Diane Bastable as she now recovers from ankle surgery. Give to them strength, perseverance, healing and protection in their circumstances, and we also pray for those who are caring for them. We particularly pray for families and children in their isolation and the challenges that homeschooling and restricted movement brings. We pray that you will give to them the resources and creativity needed in these times, and we continue to thank you for the resources that we do have so that we may stay connected to our brothers and sisters in Christ, and for the encouragement of being able to listen to our Sunday services online. Help us to continue to draw near to you, to connect with each other, to pray for each other, and encourage one another. And we ask this in your name. Amen.
Amen.
A prayer for SRE, for Special Religious Education, and school chaplaincy in our Anglican schools. God of all truth, teach us to love you with heart and mind. We pray that you will bless our local public schools, Russell Lee and Abbotsford, and that you will bless our local state and private high schools, and particularly the Anglican schools across Sydney. We pray that you will keep and bless those who are serving as school chaplains in these places. And we pray that you will bless the ministry of special religious education within them too. May this opportunity for ministry to children and to their families remain open. We ask that you will sustain and equip all who currently teach, and pray that you will continue to raise up sufficient new SRE teachers and school chaplains. We ask that principals, parents, churches, and the community will understand the benefits of SRE and chaplaincy within the schools and support it, and that all those involved will strive to love and serve the children, seek and love the truth, and in humility look to you, the source of all wisdom and understanding, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, as we face a new week, we pray that we will always be rejoicing in the love that you give us. We pray that you will help us to strive for unity together. Help us to encourage one another, be of one mind, live in peace, and may we know that you, the God of peace and love, is always with us. And we ask these things in your name. Amen.
Amen. Well, let us stand together and say what we believe in the words of this statement of faith found from the scriptures itself. And so would you join with me? Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For in him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from the dead, so that in everything he might have the supremacy. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in him, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether things on earth or things in heaven, by making peace through his blood shed on the cross. Amen. Well, let me pray for the hearing of God's word. Heavenly Father, give us faith now to receive your word, knowing that it is a lamp to our feet, a guide to our path. That in the past you spoke through the prophets in many and various ways, but in these last days you've spoken to us through your Son. May we understand to know what it means and have the will to put it into practice through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis, chapter 12, verses 1 to 9. The Lord had said to Abram, "Go from your country, your people, and your father's household to the land I will show you. I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you. I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you." So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abram was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. He took his wife Sarai, his nephew Lot, all the possessions they had accumulated, and the people they had acquired in Haran, and they set out for the land of Canaan, and they arrived there. Abram travelled through the land as far as the site of the great tree of Morah at Shechem. At that time the Canaanites were in the land. The Lord appeared to Abram and said, "To your offspring I will give this land." So he built an altar there to the Lord who had appeared to him. From there he went on toward the hills east of Bethel and pitched his tent, with Bethel on the west and Ai on the east. There he built an altar to the Lord and called on the name of the Lord. Then Abram set out and continued toward the Negev. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks be to God.
Deuteronomy 8, verses 1 to 20. Be careful to follow every command I am giving you today, so that you may live and increase and may enter and possess the land the Lord promised on oath to your ancestors. Remember how the Lord your God led you all the way in the wilderness these 40 years to humble and test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. He humbled you, causing you to hunger and then feeding you with manna, which neither you nor your ancestors had known, to teach you that man does not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of the Lord. Your clothes did not wear out, and your feet did not swell during these 40 years. Know then in your heart that as a man disciplines his son, so the Lord your God disciplines you. Observe the commands of the Lord your God, walking in obedience to him and revering him. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land with brooks, streams, and deep springs gushing out into the valleys and hills, a land with wheat and barley, vines and fig trees, pomegranates, olive oil, and honey, a land where bread will not be scarce, and you will lack nothing, a land where the rocks are iron, and you can dig copper out of the hills. When you have eaten and are satisfied, praise the Lord your God for the good land he has given you. Be careful that you do not forget the Lord your God, failing to observe his commands, his laws, and his decrees that I am giving you this day. Otherwise, when you eat and are satisfied, when you build fine houses and settle down, and when your herds and flocks grow large, and your silver and gold increase, and all you have is multiplied, then your heart will become proud, and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. He led you through the vast and dreadful wilderness, that thirsty and waterless land, with its venomous snakes and scorpions. He brought you water out of hard rock. He gave you manna to eat in the wilderness, something your ancestors had never known, to humble and test you, so that in the end it might go well with you. You may say to yourself, my power and the strength of my hands have produced this wealth for me. But remember the Lord your God, for it is he who gives you the ability to produce wealth, and so confirms his covenant, which he swore to your ancestors as it is today. If you ever forget the Lord your God and follow other gods and worship and bow down to them, I testify against you today that you will surely be destroyed. Like the nations the Lord destroyed before you, so you will be destroyed for not obeying the Lord your God. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
When did that story in the Bible occur? Is that a question you've sometimes asked? Is the Old Testament history like a mishmash of stories you're not sure when they occurred? Is the Old Testament like a jigsaw puzzle to you? Some of the pieces you've worked out where they go, but the majority of the stories are still pieces left on the table, needing to find where they're supposed to go. Well, this morning's message is not so much a sermon, but a teaching time, a time to familiarise us with the history and the stories we know of God's people in the Bible, in particular, the Old Testament. I'm going to help you place the books of the Old Testament in their place in history. And my hope is to help you with your Old Testament jigsaw puzzle, if you let me. This is not just a one-off sermon to fill in time. Next Sunday, we commence a sermon series over the months of July to September through the Old Testament books of Ezra and Haggai. Now, I'm not too sure if you've read those books before or familiar where they are, but I want you to be familiar with the time, the story that these two books cover, when they occur, and the history of God's people up to that point, so as to understand why they were written. I hope it doesn't come across as a lecture, for that's not my intent. Now, you're going to need to have that handout that's been emailed to you. I apologise that it is small, and my wife here, Rosemary, has one that I've enlarged to about three times the size, and I can get those to you. But turn to that timeline now that's been emailed to you, and of the Old Testament books, and not the Bible puzzle, all right? The word puzzle one? I know you've just gone to get that one. No, not that one. You can play that later on. It's on the website, and it'll help you to remember some of the books of the Bible. What you want to do is go to the timeline, to the timeline that's there. And if you've not got your Bible, go and get that now. So just turn off the recording and come back when you've got them. Okay, you got them? Great. Firstly, we must remember that the Bible is a book, but it's not like any book. You and I know that it's God's word. It's his revelation, the making of himself known to people in history, and he still speaks today through his word, the Bible. So turn firstly to the table of contents at the front of your Bible. I don't know how to really describe that to you if you're looking at it on your phones, maybe to a couple of screens back where the list of the Bible's books are, but turn to the table of contents at the front of your Bible. You'll see that it's not just one book, this Bible. This Bible is a book of many books. It's made up, in fact, of two sections, the Old Testament and the New Testament. God's revelation of himself before the coming of Jesus and God's revelation of himself during and after Jesus had come. All up, there are 66 books of the Bible, 39 in the Old and 27 in the New. Here is a really cool little party trick that you can do, or to impress your friends, or to explain how many books are in the Bible. Firstly, 39. Just think of that, 3-9. The word old has three letters in it, and the word testament has nine letters in it. And what's three nines? Three nines are 27, and it just happens to be that there's 27 books in the New Testament. Put that aside now. These 66 books span a history from the beginning of time to the first century AD. The Old Testament has been categorised into five sections, like shelves in a library. The first five books are called the Law. They cover the history of God's people from creation to the Exodus, where God's people are poised to enter the land that God had promised them, and how they were to live in relationship with God in that land, which we heard in our two readings from the Bible this morning by Karen and by David. Thanks, Karen. Thanks, David. And this time covers up to the time of about 1400 BC. The next 12 books are called history. As their name suggests, they cover the history of God's people. Follow along with me on your timeline from the time they entered the Promised Land around 1400 BC through to the period of the Judges, the first kings, Saul, David and Solomon, then the division of the kingdom into north and south, Israel to the north and Judah to the south, up to the fall of the northern kingdom and then the southern kingdoms during the Assyrian captivity, Babylonian and Persian captivity, and then into exile, and finally during a time of return by some back to Jerusalem under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah. You can see that on the timeline there in front of you. All up, it's over around a 1,000-year period, this history time, from about 1400 BC to about 430 BC. During this long history, leaders of God's people, like David and like Solomon, but not just them, others too, shared their prayers and shared their songs. Happy prayers, happy songs, and sad prayers, sad songs, and stories of wisdom and wise sayings. These section of five books are called poetry and wisdom. It's interesting there, if you look, see in the book of Job what type of history that's covered, when he was, his story, way back there around Abraham, back in Genesis. Did you know that? During this time of history, also, God spoke to his people in many and various ways through people called the prophets. The next 17 books in the Old Testament are called the prophets. The first five are what we call the major prophets, and the remaining 12 are called the minor prophets. The five major prophets are Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel and Daniel. Have a look on your flow diagram there to see when those prophets wrote and around the time of history that they wrote. The 12 minor prophets are Hosea, Joel, Amos, Obadiah, Jonah, Micah, Nahum, a good name for a caravan because it comes after Micah, but forget that, all right, Habakkuk, Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah and Malachi. The major prophets are called major not because their message is more important than the minor prophets. It's simply a reference to their size. They are bigger in volume than the minor prophets. All up, these 17 books comprise about one quarter of the Bible and are written record of God's message through the prophets to his people in their history. These 17 prophets have a written record of their message and often and a book by their name. Have a look there as to when they wrote and at what time in Israel's history. Just going back to one of the other books of the history, Chronicles, you'll notice there covers all of the history period, right back to the beginning. It's interesting that the 1 and 2 Chronicles parallels the history of 1 and 2 Kings, but it gives a theological twist to the stories and the history of God's people. The answer to the question, well, why, God, did you allow this to happen? And so that's what 1 Chronicles and 2 Chronicles, and they parallel. They often have the same stories, but it's a theological explanation to the history of the kings. Now, the prophets, the minor prophets and the major prophets, they weren't just the only prophets at that time as well that spoke to God's people. There were other prophets. Can you remember any others? That's right, Elijah, Samuel, did you know that? Nathan, Ahijah, I can never get to say his name properly. Their message is recorded in the books of Joshua, 1 and 2 Samuel, and 1 and 2 Kings, and 1 and 2 Chronicles. Who were these people called prophets? They were men appointed and called by God to proclaim his message to his people. to speak for God to God's people, not as the words of men, but of God himself. They had a message that reached back to the word of God spoken to his people in the past, that reminded them of blessings for obedience and consequences for disobedience. They were courageous men who bravely exposed the sinful practices of not only God's people, but the nations. They called God's people back to God's moral, civil, and ceremonial laws, reminding them of God's good character and the value of living life God's way in God's world under God's rule. They urged them to trust him with all their hearts, despite the temptations and opposition that they face from the world and within. Speaking into the events of their time, looking back to God's word given in the past, the prophets urged God's people to look forward, to a coming age that God was moving towards and had always planned to bring about, an age of the coming of his Messiah, the perfect King, and his eternal kingdom. Of the 12 minor prophets, three spoke during the time that's called the post-exilic period. Now, there's a big word that you can use during the week, the post-exilic period. It's the history of God's period of people covered by the books of Ezra and Nehemiah. And note there, the story of Esther occurs. It's from around about 538 BC to 430 BC. After the exile of God's people, firstly, Israel off there to Assyria, to the north, and then Judah off to Babylon and then under Persia, some of God's people were allowed to return back under the leadership of Ezra and Nehemiah back to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. And during this time of rebuilding the walls and the temple, God raised up his prophets, these three post-exilic prophets. And they are Haggai, Zechariah, and Malachi, the last three books in our Bibles. We're going to be looking at the story of Ezra and Haggai in the coming weeks ahead in our sermon series called New Beginnings with God. But let me just remind you of these three post-exilic prophets' message, and just help you to understand the context and the history of God's people at that time. Imagine what it would be like having a new beginning like this. Well, Haggai's is his message, the message of God that comes around about 520 BC. It's after the Babylonian invasion and exile, and some of God's people, as I've said, were allowed to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls and the temple of God. A new beginning was given to them. But work is stopped because the people's priorities turned to their own homes and interests. The reason they were not enjoying his blessing was that they did not put God first. God urges his people to trust him despite their fears and frustrations, to return to the work on the temple and watch and see how he would bless them. Zechariah, this message of God comes around the same time as Haggai, around 515 BC. It is the same message to the people of God as that spoken through Haggai, but put God first, return to building the temple. What's different is that a series of visions are given to Zechariah to encourage God's people visually to get on with the work, reminding them that the temple is central to Israel's relationship with God and the coming of the Messiah. Finally, Malachi. By the time of the last Old Testament prophet around 430 BC, sadly, however, the spiritual and moral climate of God's people had grown cold. Their worship was unengaging, meaningless and indifferent. And as they grew more and more distant from God and their love for things worldly grew strong, they became characterized by religious and social compromise. God announces a terrible day of judgment was coming, but alluding also to the hope of his Messiah, his perfect King, the Lord Jesus, coming. The Son of Righteousness will rise with healing in his wings, writes Malachi. For the following 400 years, God speaks no more as he has through his prophets. They have his written word, the Old Testament. There they hear of who their God is, what he requires of his people, his dealings with them in the past, what he promises in the present, and the future for them. God is silent until the last of the Old Testament type prophets is raised up and he's heard preaching in the desert, speaking of this promised Messiah, promised way back there in Genesis to Abram, that through his seed all nations would be blessed, of which the prophets spoke of and the kings foreran, the Messiah of old, Jesus. John says, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." In the past, God spoke to his people in many and various ways through the prophets, writes the writer of Hebrews. But in these last days, as God had promised all the way along, he speaks to us through his Son, Jesus. Well, that's a kind of a little walk through the Old Testament for you. I hope that's really helpful. What I found really helpful in putting that little timeline together was to realize where those books fall into. You know, it's interesting to know things like where Ruth, the story of Ruth is that we've had earlier on, when Song of Songs and Ecclesiastes and Proverbs were written, at the end of Solomon's reign there, and you can see that time there. And also to sort of maybe put in our heads, my hope has been is that that Old Testament jigsaw puzzle, that the little pieces are a little bit more put into place and that picture that is unfolding more for you. Well, I hope this has been helpful for you. Let me just close in prayer. Lord God, we rejoice in your greatness and power, your patience and love, your mercy and justice. Enable us by your Spirit to always honour you in our thoughts, words and actions, and to serve you in every aspect of our lives. And we ask this through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Now, just for a few announcements before I play our last little song to you. Just if you'd like to Zoom with me to get online and have a chat face-to-face, I'd love to do that anytime, really. I can't visit because we're all in lockdown at the moment. But if you'd like to catch up with me tonight or with others, send me an email or a message and I'll send you the Zoom link and we can tune in tonight from between 5 and 6 o'clock tonight and have a chat together and catch up with people let me pray for you. And so thank you for joining us this morning for church. We're mindful of you all in lockdown as you are of us. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ, amen.
Your word is good, it's ever faithful, worth more than gold, the heart's delight. Your word gives life to all who hear and obey. Your word endures forever. Your word is true, it never changes. It formed the earth, sustains it still. Your word defends, providing refuge and strength. My joy.